But one of the things that we are highlighting right now that's coming up for us next month is our Disability Resource and Transition Fair that we do annually at this in around October, where we just bring a lot of different resources from the community to help support our families who have students with special needs, and ranging from all the way from preschool, all the way through the continuum, all the way up to age 22. So we're super excited that that's coming up next month. It involves a lot of planning, but it's very much worth it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and I have the special pleasure of having two guests today. I have Carla Raymond. She's the program administrator for WalkSap in Whittier, California. And I have Janet Cano. She is the SELPA Executive Director at WalkSap. And I am super excited to have you guys here. So thanks for coming and being on the show today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So Janet, it's really weird to say Janet because I am Janet as well. There you go. I don't meet a lot of other Janets.
No, me neither.
And Janet is also an SLP like me. So we have lots in common. Tell us what a SELPA is.
So SELPA stands for Special Education Local Plan Area. They're part of the master plan to support special education in California. And the idea is that school districts come together to share their resources, both program resources as well as financial resources, to better support students in special education. California has many, many school districts, almost 900 school districts. And so we have very small ones and very large ones. So by working together, students in who need special education services can have better support. That's also more cost effective for the districts, especially for students who have disabilities, that there aren't a lot of students that could be in one district. For example, if they're deaf or hard of hearing, there may only be one student in a school district, which does not support the student, or is it cost effective for them to have a teacher for one student? So by bringing districts together, then they can support that. Our SELPA, the Whittier Area Cooperative Special Education Program, has 7 districts that we support in the LA County Whittier area.
Awesome. Okay. Fabulous. That's such a good, that's such a great explanation, because, you know, there's ISDs and there's unified school districts and all of that in other states too. And it's just that we in education love our alphabet soup, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We do. Really, really do.
We do. That's the name WalkSap. More initials.
Yeah. More initials, right? Yeah. WACSP, right?
SEP.
SEP. See, I didn't even have it right. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Awesome. So tell me what is going on. I know you guys have some great programs. I'd love to hear about what's happening in WalkSap.
We have a lot of great things going on. As Janet mentioned, we really do support 7 different school districts, and we're very unique also in the way that we are a SELPA, as we actually run a lot of program out of our SELPA. We have several different departments that help support our 7 member school districts, ranging from preschool intake assessment teams to non-public school team, mental health, behavior, deaf and hard of hearing, hospital, private schools. We have several different departments. But one of the things that we are highlighting right now that's coming up for us next month is our Disability Resource and Transition Fair that we do annually at this in around October, where we just bring a lot of different resources from the community to help support our families who have students with special needs, and ranging from all the way from preschool, all the way through the continuum, all the way up to age 22. And so we're super excited that that's coming up next month. It involves a lot of planning, but it's very much worth it. And I'll let Janet share more about it as well.
So Disability Resource and Transition Fair is actually hosted by our Community Advisory Committee. Every SELPA is required to have a group of parents, community members, staff members from the member districts who at least over half of the members need to have a child with a disability. So we have primarily parents on our community advisory committee, and every SELPA decides what are the goals. And our community advisory committee's goals is to provide resources to our community, both through parent training as well as our big event, our disability resource and transition fair. So we have vendors from all over the community that can support all seven of our districts. Our SELPA covers about 90 square miles. So it's a large area. And oftentimes we have families come in and all they want is someone who understands their child when they get their hair cut. Or when they go into a store, or they want to join a dance team, or they want to be available in sports, or they need resources. So our resource and transition fair has been going on for over 10 years to really support the community. It's grown tremendously. So we have over 100 people who attend. They get to visit with as many members, or excuse me, vendors that we call our people in the community, as they would like to. We even have a local food bank that comes and they give out things. We've had local stores who will give games and things for our kids. And our kids, meaning all the kids in our districts, are our kids.
Right, absolutely. Yes. I get it. They're my kids. When I was seeing them, they're my kids. And we had 2,700 kids last year, and they're my kids.
Yes,
so I totally get it.
Exactly. And we have, over the last 5 years, we've worked in tandem with our high school district, Whittier Union High School District, to include the transition piece. So work opportunities, businesses that support all people as workers in their business, as well as some resources to support parents for our students who are transitioning either out of high school or even out of the adult transition programs that they provide through age 22.
Very nice. Very nice. So, is it like a 1 day event, or how do you, and is it at your facility? How do you guys have that set up?
Great question. It is a 1 day event. It is being, it's hosted by one of the high schools in our member district, Whittier Union High School District. It is, publicized through all of our member districts. So we also send out an email blast to our parents who currently have students in different programs. And then all of our districts also publicize it in a different way. It might be through their Instagram page. It might be through their parent square, whatever that they're using. And so that is the way that we try to reach out to the community and the parents. And then it's hosted over at the high school. It's usually typically from about 4 to 6:30, where it's set up with several different vendors. And last year, I think Janet mentioned we had about 30 different vendors that came out, many of them who bring things to give away for raffles. So our parents have opportunities to win great prizes. There's also different sessions that they can go and listen to we target every year at least two specific topics to focus on. And it's just a great event that they get to walk through. It's kind of like a little gallery walk that they walk through all the different little stations, ask questions. And there can be anything from like what Janet was sharing earlier, a local barber who really understands how to work with maybe a child who has autism that doesn't like to have their hair touched or cut. How can we work with that? A dentist who can work with students who just can be more understanding and really can understand those needs. To preschools who may be out to really be an inclusive site, you know, for preschool students, and ranging all the way up, like I said, from really early on to 22 years of age.
Wow. And that sounds...
And then we also include our community colleges. And several of our local colleges will have representatives from their disability support services. So as our students are transitioning as adults, it changes as they go on to the community college. And so we want them to have those resources and their families to understand what that difference is. So we try to capture them as they're leaving us also mm-hmm. to make that transition as early as possible. And then in addition, one of the speakers that we have this year is talking about supported decision making, which is an alternative to conservatorship. We've had some laws in California to really look at all people have rights and they mm-hmm. get to make their own decisions. And so they don't have to, they can have an alternative to being conserved where they're not able to make those decisions. Someone that could even be someone they don't know is making decisions for them, or supported decision making could be a family member that they're working together for people to have that dignity for themselves to make the decisions. So this is newer. I don't know if it's in other states. It is newer in California. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to be able to give parents resources so that they have the most knowledge, and our students themselves have the most knowledge of what's happening, and they are able to make some good decisions together
and
as families.
Is that at 18? Is that when that happens, where you have to make that where parents have to make that decision, or is it 21 or 22? Where does that conservator piece come in to play? I know I've had friends, and obviously in my career we've had lots of students where that's been a concern, you know. But where in California, what's the cutoff, or where is that line? I'm curious.
At 18, they're considered legal adults. So if person isn't conserved, then they have the opportunity, they make all those decisions for themselves, mm-hmm. which for some students, they need a team.
Yeah.
But they want to be able to make decisions, and their family wants them to be able to make decisions. And that could be like, there's some toolkits and lots of resources that are out there in some local businesses, organizations that mm-hmm. have all these. So we're having one of them attend.
Nice.
For us. And then our second workshop is on video modeling, which our own staff, who is part of the California Autism Network called CAPTAIN, mm-hmm. in the state of California, they are CAPTAIN cadre members. So they're doing a workshop on video modeling that parents can do at home. So nice. We want to be able to give the whole gambit of support on what our families are looking for, because our districts cover from birth. We have an infant program all the way through 22.
Nice. How many students do you guys have? What's the population of your students and just like the population of what kind of area? I know you said the miles, but like how big of a population are we talking about?
So we're in L.A. County. L.A. Yeah. County is very urban.
I know.
Whittier area is a small, it's a relatively small community. Within our seven districts, there are about 38,000 students within the seven districts, and about 4,000 of them have disability.
Wow.
Or are on IEPs.
On IEPs, yeah.
We all feel it. Students are struggling more than ever with emotional and behavioral challenges. Lighthouse Therapy offers virtual, hybrid, and in-person behavioral and mental health support that builds around your school environment. Our licensed professionals are trauma-informed, experienced, and trained to work with K-12 students and staff. You don't get a cookie-cutter approach. You get a partner who listens, adapts, and builds trust. Because when students feel safe and seen, they thrive. Learn how you can get support at your school at lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together.
That's a lot of people. So when you have this fair, it's open to all of these people. So do you get a really good turnout? What does it look like? I mean, it sounds fantastic. I wish I could come.
You're welcome to come. It's on the 21st of October.
It's on the 21st of October. Yeah,
yeah. Tony in California, of course. I think. Are you out in Texas?
I actually am going to be in Minnesota. I'm in Texas. Yes, I'm in South Texas, but I'm actually going to be in Minnesota during that on the 21st of October. And in November, I've got three different trips. One of them is Asha. I'm going to Asha. I haven't been to Asha the last couple of years, and I'm going to Asha this year. And then we have two other conferences. I'll tell you, as we've grown, as Lighthouse has grown, and we got a new executive VP of sales. He's got me hopping. I'm all over. We actually were in California this summer. We spent, because we have several contracts in California. And before the pandemic, my daughter and I spent 2 weeks, and we went all the way around the Sierra Nevadas, literally, because we have contracts in just all on the West Coast, and then over Enyo and up that way, and then all the way up to Oregon House. So, and got to see, we spent a little bit of time. We went to Yosemite, and, you know, we were tourists for a couple of days, but we were in California for 2 weeks. And then this time we went back, and we did it in July, and it was probably not the best time to go because everybody was on vacation. So we didn't get to see as many people as we wanted to, but it was super fun and just got to go. We spent quite a bit of time in LA, and then I'd never been to Beverly Hills. We went to Beverly Hills for one day, and then went up to Sacramento because we have several contracts in Sacramento. And actually our very, very first contract, the one that made Lighthouse be able to be on the map, right? They're still with us. They've been with us for 8 years. Wonderful. And so we went and took them out to lunch, and it's just super fun. You know, I just love, and you guys have such great weather. So, you know,
we basically have one type of climate all year round, which is nice. You can still have a barbecue out in November and December. Usually it doesn't get that cold, which is, I won't say the same for Minnesota. I don't know what it'll be like in October, but it sounds like it's going to be cold.
I'm not excited. I lived in Michigan for 19 years. And then we came down to be, I tell people we're failed snowbirds. My husband and I came down to Texas and to be snowbirds for 6 months because my dad and mother had done that for many years, and we just never left. I was like, oh, it's warm here. Oh, I like this place. Oh, my dad's only 2 hours away. I got to see my dad more in the last 2 years of his life than I had in the 10 years prior. So, you know, I just am like, but now we still have lots of ties in Michigan, but it's lovely down here. I'm enjoying the 2 weeks of winter instead of the 6 months of winter.
That's definitely much more bearable.
And it's all perspective, you know. It's all about what you want. And if you want those, you know, people love the cold and the snow, and God bless them. I do not. So there you go.
Well, yes. And the nice thing about Southern California, everything is about an hour away. Yeah. So we can go to the mountains up in the snow, about an hour and a half, or we can go to the beach within an hour. Mm-hmm. There is a benefit to living in Southern California, for sure.
Yeah. A little bit of everything. And,
So I was in the middle of asking a question and I derailed us badly, but what kind of a turnout do you get, and what have you seen it grow over the years?
We've definitely seen it grow. Both Janet and I are starting our eighth year. I'm her first hire. I like to say that.
Beautiful. Love that.
But we, you know, over these last 7 years, we've really been able to see it grow from just having maybe, you know, a small amount of people coming through, to just now having many more families coming through. And so much that we had to move to a bigger space in order to be able to host it. We've also grown in the number of vendors that we've been able to have attend and participate in the fair as well. And so it feels like we're growing every year. And like we're able to get the word out a little bit more. And also that by word of mouth, by the families that come through, they share that with other families and friends, and that we're growing that way as well.
And they have an opportunity to talk to a person who knows whatever it is that is right in front of them. That's such a great thing, and I'm sure your families appreciate it and look forward to it every year, probably.
And that is the nice thing, is that we get more every year, which says we're doing a good enough job that parents are referring other parents.
Right.
And so that is our goal. We do provide food
for the first number of 100 people who come. So mm-hmm. that's always an incentive. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We have the best hamburger guy, as we say, who comes and provides stuff. But we always get more than that. And really providing that opportunity. And we do it from 4 o'clock to 6:30. So we have the families who come in before dinner time, more after dinner time. When they have younger children, mm-hmm. they may want to do it differently than children who are high school and beyond. So it gives them a variety without going too late. We find mm-hmm. if we went too late, then people would just drop off because, you know, homework yeah. and nighttime routines and all of that piece. And yeah. and to support our vendors, too, to make sure that they can be there in the time allotted. We yeah. Just in the last 2 years have moved our fair to October. It used to be in March. Because we're in such an urban community, there are 21 SELPAs just within LA County. We are 21. The biggest county in wow. California, over 80 school districts, including very large school districts mm-hmm. within that. And so we were competing with a lot of other SELPAs or districts who were also having resource fairs.
Okay.
So, and gotcha. There's only so many people who can come. Mm-hmm. So we recently moved our fair. Just last year was the first year we moved it to October. And we thought we might have a little drop off, and we actually had more families come last year. Wow. So we said, October's good. We're not competing. We're not competing for resources. And so that's really nice to know that we have families that are interested in coming and yeah. building that space.
So are there SELPAs in LA County that just like I'm just thinking of LAUSD, right? Los Angeles Unified School District. Is that a SELPA and a school district? Is that how they do that? I'm not as versed.
Yes.
So
there are some school districts that are either large enough or are able to be both are considered what's called a single SELPA district, LAUSD being one of them, mm-hmm. where it's the district and it's also the SELPA office. For us, it's different. Right. We have 7 member districts. And so those 7 right. member districts make up the WhatsApp SELPA.
Right.
Yeah.
If they're in LAUSD, they don't need to pool resources with anybody. They have plenty
they're
of
huge.
Resources.
Yes.
So right. we have, you know, one of our member districts is 4 schools. And mm-hmm. so it's much better for them to be able to pool the resources to provide the great services for students.
Right.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
So
when
across...
Go ahead.
Across the state, there are about 35 districts that we call single districts, SELPAs, and then about 30 to 40, I don't know the exact number, and then the rest of the 135 SELPAs are multi-district SELPAs, from 2 districts to 40 districts.
Right.
It all depends, usually geographically close, so that they can support each other. And every SELPA is a little bit different. So,
right. Well, and it's as they should be different because they're dealing with different geographical locations and the people that live there. And certainly yeah. you have diversity in California. That's for sure.
Yes,
there's
yes.
a lot of different things happening. If you go to the water, if you go to the mountains on the other side of the mountains, you go north, you go south. It's just so many different walks of life and people there.
Yes. So, that's the benefit of having that group together and districts coming together to support that area. As opposed to if we did one thing for all of LA County, we are missing the boat on supporting
right.
students.
Right. Yeah. Understood. I'm sorry, Carly, you were going to say something as well?
I was just going to say that speaking of diversity, one of the things that I wanted to mention also is that we have a large Spanish-speaking community and population. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I'm really proud of us for doing is that we also offer the information in English and Spanish. Our flyers are in English and Spanish. We have translators available for the parent workshops that will translate the session in Spanish for parents. So it's one of the other ways that we try to really work at being able to reach our community is by having that translation available to them.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Access. opening access up for them. That's great. So where do people go if they want to learn more about this fair and about your SELPA?
We have a website, and it's waccep.org, WACSEP.org. And we also are now on Instagram. So you can check us out on Instagram as well, at WACSEP. We love to post just different things that are going on in our that highlights, that we're doing, trainings that we've just done. We already, I think, have posted about the fair coming up. So both of those would be good sites to look at.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on. And obviously, there's a lot of passion. I love what you guys are doing. I love the fact, we as a company spend a lot of time and do, like I said, do a lot of support in California. And it's just always so nice to see, part of the reason why Brighter Together exists is because, so much of media and the things that are out there about education, they're just bashing education. And to have people that have passion and care about the parents, care about the students, care about what's happening in your local community is so encouraging and wonderful to see. So ladies, keep up the good work. It's so refreshing to hear the amazing things that you guys are doing to support your parents and ultimately to support your students. So thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.